Exodus chapter 20, verse 17. This is the reading of God's word. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male servant, or his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. We pray that you would grant an ear to hear your word, that we may truly hear your voice through your word. Let us meet your Son, Jesus Christ, through your word. And through your word, let us see what he has done and accomplished for us. As we see our heavenly reality that is already accomplished by our Lord Jesus Christ, let us rejoice and give you all the glory, honor, and thanksgiving. We pray that your word will be preached correctly, and your word will be understood by your people, believed, and obeyed by your people to bring glory and honor to you. We thank you and we pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we are finishing up the Ten Commandments. And we are looking at the last one, Tenth Commandment. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male servant or his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Yes, it is written in the context of when it's written. So, coveting, you know, your neighbor's ox and donkey. Yes, you might think, what? But you do understand what God is saying to you. Now, this coveting, you and I, we all have strong desires. We crave and we covet. The Bible does not teach that all desires and cravings and covetings are evil and bad. Not all desires are greed. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31 says, earnestly desire the greater gift. Tenth commandment is about coveting that comes out of greediness of a sinful heart. Desiring or coveting in and of itself is not evil. And this is unlike the Buddhism that you might know or might not know what that religion teaches. The Buddhism teaches that all desires are bad. It teaches that our ultimate goal is to reach what they call nothingness, in which we have no desires whatsoever. That's the state of heaven for them. Their heaven is all about being free from all desires. No. The truth is God made us to have desires. Telling a man not to have any desire is like telling him to be something other than a man. We should never understand these commandments in terms of the worldly morals as we have seen already. Being angry and being jealous in and of themselves are not evil nor sin. See, so many people misunderstand. God is angry towards sin. And the verse 5 in our chapter says that God is a jealous God. Of course, when a sinner is angry or jealous, he or she is in great danger of sinning, so must be careful. But to say being angry and being jealous in and of themselves are sin is to say that God sins, which is a nonsense. Sometimes we have to be angry, especially when God's honor is in view. The same principle that we just talked about applies here. A strong desire or coveting in and of itself is not sin. It is all about what do we covet. We are commanded to covet or strongly desire our God and strongly desire to glorify our God. But greed is definitely sin. The 10th commandment is closely connected to the 8th commandment, you shall not steal. In both cases, the person who is involved in sin, in this sin, is not satisfied with what God has given him. You know, we all confess that God is in complete control, and whatever we have, we believe that it is God who gave them to us. But some people, they are just not satisfied with what God has given him. You know, I say given him or her, but I will just stop at him all the way through because it's just too much work. But girls are included here whenever I say that. But here in the 10th commandment, it is all about the heart. It is about coveting in the heart. Dissatisfied with what God is doing in his life. Dissatisfied with what God has given him. Dissatisfied with God's work in his life. No satisfaction in his heart. It's like saying in his heart, you know, I know better than God. I know what God should do when it comes to my life. In fact, they're saying what God is doing in my life right now is wrong. He should change. He says in his heart, if I could just have this or that, then I will be okay. Don't trust that lie. Look at all the rich people out there. They have so much more than what we think it will be satisfying to us. And yet, they're not satisfied. You think if you have certain things, then you will be satisfied? I always give this example, right? God already showed us that that's not true. He showed us Solomon. Look at Solomon, King Solomon, the most wise person in the whole universe. So he has that wisdom. And when it comes to wealth, oh, he's second to none. Oh, and when it comes to woman, oh, he had 1,000 women. One woman a day will take 3 years. And yet he says, all is meaningless. Vanity. God already showed us that those things will not satisfy us. But you always argue, no, let me experience it. Let me do it myself. You know, I cannot trust what Solomon says, even though it's God's word. Let me have all that and see really if I'm not satisfied. No, listen to God. Trust Him. So this person covets the possessions of the others. And with so much emotion and energy, he covets. And possessing what he covets becomes the center of his life, the purpose of his life. That's what he lived for. And you know this kind of people out there. That's why they go to school. That's why they study. That's why they do all kinds of things. Because they want it. The whole life is consumed by what he's coveting. He's never satisfied until he possesses what he covets. And even when he gets it, he's never satisfied heart wants more and more, and there is no end. Thus he lives his life as a slave of what he covets. Obviously, this is not a good desire that you should have. This is sin. Sinning against this 10th commandment. Envy, lust, and greed from the sinful heart. All are sin. James chapter 1, verse 14 through 15. But each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. Then when lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. You know, the Bible flat out teaches that greed is idolatry. Do you remember the first commandment? You shall not have no other gods before me. For a person who is coveting something else, someone else's possession, for him, whatever he is coveting becomes his god that he worships. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 3 to 5. But immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. And there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving up thanks. For this you know with certainty that no moral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of God and Christ. The covetous man is an idolater, it says. Colossians chapter 3, verse 5, therefore consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. You know, just because you don't make some image out of wood or stone and you don't bow down to it, that doesn't mean you're not an idolater. Colossians 3:6 says, for it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. See, from the very beginning, sin was idolatry. It was loving oneself more than God. It was about not being satisfied with what God has given. I mean, Adam and Eve, you all know the story, so I don't have to go into detail. Adam and Eve, Genesis chapter 3, verse 6 says, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate, and she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. Now we already look at the implication of all that, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the boasting of life and all that. But here, our focus today is this, that God gave Adam and Eve everything. I mean, 6 days he created the whole universe. And it was for Adam and Eve. God gave them the paradise. Garden of Eden was a paradise. God is creating the whole universe in Genesis 1 and Genesis 2. And what God is doing is providing for Adam and Eve. That's what God is doing when He creates the whole universe. See, man is providing all that man needs. I mean, God is providing all that man needs. Just one tree out of the whole creation, God says not to eat. Just one. And God gave all the other trees and their fruits for man to have to enjoy. Just one tree, he says, don't eat. And guess what? Adam and Eve is not satisfied. Moreover, they wanted to be gods themselves. They wanted to decide on their own what is good and evil. That's what it means to eat that fruit of knowledge of good and evil. I'm going to decide what is good and evil. They coveted the position of God. Do you see it? A covetous person does not obey God, nor wants to please God. Actually, God is a hindrance to him. Hindrance in fulfilling his purpose. See, by giving the 10th commandment, God reveals himself to be the God who looks at the heart. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7b, for God sees not as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. We must not serve our God just with our lips. Mark chapter 6, verse 6b, chapter 7, verse 6b, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. We must serve God with the whole of our heart. The Pharisees observed the Ten Commandments only outwardly. Thus, when they come to this 10th commandment, they faced a big dilemma. Because all the other things, they could say, I'm doing it. Because outwardly, they could kind of pretend. But when it comes to this commandment, don't covet, they face a big problem. Oh yes, they could still pretend not coveting, but they know they're sinners. See, brothers and sisters, worshiping God only outwardly, while the heart is someone else. Honoring parents only outwardly. Not committing murder only outwardly. God says if you hate your brother, you have committed murder in your heart. Not committing adultery only outwardly. God says if you just look at a woman lustfully, then you have committed adultery in your heart. Not stealing, and so on and on. All lip service, if not with the whole of our hearts, you obey them. Because what matters is heart. See, you could pretend and you could deceive all of us, but you cannot deceive God. He knows why you're doing it. He knows everything, your motivation, your purpose, your meaning, he knows. See, sin begins at the heart. Look at King David. He coveted the wife of Uriah, Bathsheba. And because of that covetousness, he ended up breaking not only the 10th commandment, but the 7th commandment, murder, when he had Uriah killed. And the 8th commandment, adultery. And the 6th commandment, stealing. Well, Bible actually says if you commit one commandment, then you have committed all. But it all starts in the heart. Second Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through 5, but realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come, for men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, reviler, disobedient to parents. Oh, let me repeat that again. You know, God describing the last generation, I could even say the worst generation in the whole history. And this description says, oh, they're disobedient to their parents. Oh yeah, who listens to their parents anymore? Well, unless they ask you to sin, then do not obey. Well, let me go on. Ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Avoid such men as these. The lovers of this world rather than the lovers of God. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, you have been delivered out of this sinful world. You have been rescued from the domain of darkness. You now possess God and His kingdom, eternal kingdom, as your eternal inheritance. Thus, there cannot be any dissatisfaction among you or within you unless you do not understand the gospel. Unless you don't understand what God has already given you, what He has already accomplished for you. Because all you see is this world and the life, that short life, 80, 90, 100 years that you live here. You know, there are so many people, that's all they see. They don't see heaven. They don't see eternal life. They only see here and now. But when it comes to here and now, God just said, don't worry about what to eat and what to drink and what to wear. That's it. He didn't promise you that He will make you rich. He didn't promise you that He will make you healthy. You know, in actuality, if you look at the statistics, if you really want to be wealthy, you have better chance being wealthy by not being a Christian. Look at the world. Who are wealthy people in the world? Non-Christians. So if that's your purpose, you have better chance. Just don't be a Christian. Because God never promised you that. He could make you rich, but He might not. But that is not our focus. It's not that we're going to be satisfied if He makes us rich or healthy. We are already satisfied for what Jesus Christ has already done for us. We are satisfied with Jesus Christ and Him alone. Our satisfaction comes only from Christ. So it really doesn't matter what situation that we face or we find ourselves in. It's all about Christ. Now, let me ask you, brothers and sisters in Christ, why do we live our lives as if Jesus did not do all things for us? That somehow we live as if Jesus, what Jesus has done, is lacking for us. That what He gave us is not enough. Is there anything that Jesus Christ is withholding from you? You think? Even if you don't have much in this world, is it because Jesus is withholding that from you? Because He doesn't like you? He gave you all things, even His life. You know, asking Him to give more. He cannot do that because He gave you all. He gave His life. I mean, what if somebody dies for you, somebody gave His life for you, you're going to go to that person and say, give me more? I know you're not going to do that. Because it's just dumb to do that. Then why are we doing that in our lives? All our prayers are all about, give me this, give me that, as if somehow Jesus is just withholding it. He just doesn't want to give you. He gave you all. That's what you need to understand. That's what you need to believe. What did He not give you that you are not satisfied? I'm talking about as you are right now. Are you satisfied with what Christ has so far done for you and doing for you? Now, what will make you satisfied, you believe? If you just have what, then you think you will be satisfied. Whatever you might be thinking, you are mistaken, because there is no eternal satisfaction in the things of this world. Romans chapter 8 verse 32 says, He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him over for us all, how will He not also with Him freely give us all things? But we see ourselves, we don't have some of the worldly things. Then why? Is it because God is greedy? No, chapter 8, verse 28 says, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. You have to believe that whatever that is happening in your life right now is God's best. It is God's best. Because if He knows better way, He will do it. He loves you. Don't you believe this? Because His purpose for you and for me is to make us like Christ. For that purpose, whatever that is going on in your life is best. Obviously, if your purpose is to become rich, then obviously it's not best for you. I agree. It's not. But that's not God's purpose for you. We are so thankful. He knows the best. He knows what He's doing. And we're satisfied with Him. See, we do not have certain worldly things because to not having them is good for us at this time. We must trust God. If our focus is on this world, then we will be full of dissatisfactions. But if our focus is in heaven, then we are satisfied. See, if our focus is on this world, then we will feel that we are always lacking, thus always dissatisfaction. Just like Adam and Eve, even when they had all things but one, they were dissatisfied. We must have our eyes focused on Jesus Christ and His heavenly kingdom, our eternal home. In order for anybody to have complete satisfaction, one must know and understand the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. One must know and believe that God has accomplished for him what he has done for him. Without truly knowing the gospel, one will never be satisfied. Apostle Paul knew. He understood and he believed. He saw his heavenly reality that our Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished for him. He knew that even the sufferings and the lacking in this world are a participation in the glorious life of Jesus Christ. Because he lived that life. He didn't even have a place to lay his head. But he was completely satisfied. Because he knows what is waiting for him forever and ever. See, Paul, he was able in Jesus Christ to be truly satisfied. Listen to what he says in Philippians chapter 4, 11 through 13. And remember, when he says this, he's in prison. Alright? He's in prison and he says this. Not that I speak from want, meaning lack, for I have learned to be content. In whatever circumstances I am, I know how to get along with humble means and also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstances, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. He says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 8, if you have food and covering, with these we shall be content. Because our life is not about what to eat and what to drink and what to wear. Because you're talking 100 years out of eternity. See, 100 years out of eternity is like one day out of your 100 years. One day, you go to camping and, you know, I always give this example, right? You go to camping and your tent is like lousy and you cannot take shower and, you know, your food that your dad makes other than your mom is just lousy. But do you complain? No, you actually enjoy that inconvenience. You enjoy the rough ground that you have to sleep on. Because you know one day later you're going to go home. You're going to go home. So who cares? You don't go to campground and you look at other people's tent and say, whoa, that's a three-story tent and look at our lousy tent. We don't do that. Because we don't care. Because I'm going home. But if our home is lousy, that's a different matter. See, if heaven is lousy, then oh. But heaven is not lousy. We're going home. So what kind of house, what kind of car, what kind of clothing? Who cares? We just have to endure a little bit. We're going home. Thus, we don't covet because we are satisfied. Luke 12, verse 15, Jesus says, "Beware and be on your guard against every form of greed, for not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions." Our eternal life is not about having the things of this world. It is not about that. Now I'm looking at the clock and I need to skip some of these things. Don't be too happy. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 5 says, "Make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, 'I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you.'" Did you get that? We are content with what we have. Why? Because God is with us. And this is the picture of the citizen of heaven. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." You don't seek all these things. You seek kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you, he promises. But the amount that he will add it unto you, you are not satisfied, right? Because he just gives us so little, you think. You feel that he gives us so little because you're focused on this world. But look at how much he gave you. Look at into heaven. Wow! That's not little at all. Why you are not satisfied? Because your focus is on this world. And people who look at the world and says they're satisfied, they're lying. How can you be satisfied if your focus is on this world? You can always have more. You can always do better. You could always go to better school. You could always get a better degree. You could always get a little bit more money. Loving God means to be satisfied with God and God alone. It is to enjoy God now and forever. What do your joy and satisfaction depend on? If it is this world, then you will never have true joy and true satisfaction. Your life will be full of greed and coveting. But brothers and sisters in Christ, you now possess your God himself and his kingdom as your eternal inheritance. And because of it, even if you do not have much in this world, it really doesn't matter to you. You have truly everything in Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 21 through 23. "So then, let no one boast in men, for all things belong to you, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all things belong to you. And you belong to Christ, and Christ belongs to God." Okay, let me just end. How are we going to obey this commandment? I say, God says, don't covet. And you say, amen, I'll try my best. And we go out and then everything's okay? What? You're not going to covet when you go out there? See, that's what just so floors me. Here's a pastor. God said, don't do this. And you go, okay, I try my best. And they go out as if they're going to actually obey it. How are you going to obey this? Don't covet. We can't. We could only obey in Jesus Christ. That's why you need Christ. Only in Him you are able to obey this. Jesus lived the perfect life for us in our places. He and He alone lived the life that was completely without coveting anything that belongs to His neighbor. He lived that life for you. And we must believe in Him. Colossians chapter 2 verse 9 through 10, for in Him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form, and in Him you have been made complete, and He is the head over all rule and authority. You have been made complete in Jesus Christ. The fullness of God, Jesus Christ, is living in you through His Spirit, even now. Oh, do you know how complete you are in Jesus Christ? Do you know how righteous you are in Jesus Christ? Do you know how holy you are in Jesus Christ? It's not that you are actually righteous, actually holy, but because Jesus lived that holy life and righteous life, and He lived that life for you. And you must believe that He did that for you, so that you will have His righteousness. When you trust Christ, and when you believe that He never coveted, and He lived that life for you, then God receives you as if you never coveted anything. Because my purpose here is not to scold you, not to show you how lousy life you live, even though we do live lousy life. But my purpose is to preach to you the good news, the gospel. You must believe Christ. And do you know the perfect satisfaction in Jesus Christ? You and I are the participants of the fullness of our Lord Jesus Christ, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13, until we all attain to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature man to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not lack, is our confession. In Psalm 73, verse 25, whom have I in heaven but you? And besides you, I desire nothing on earth. I desire nothing. Let me end with what Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. More than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ. This is what our life is all about. We are willing to lose everything in our lives, even our lives, so that we may gain Christ. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, I want to tell you, We have gained Christ. We possess Him as He possesses us. That is why we're satisfied. Thus, we are able not to covet anything that belongs to our neighbor. Oh, brothers and sisters, I pray that you would enjoy this satisfaction that we find in Christ. Not only in heaven, but now, today, and tomorrow, forever. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We give you all the glory, honor, and power. We thank you for the satisfaction that you give us in Jesus Christ. Oh, Father, we are satisfied. We are content in what you have done, what you are doing, what you will be doing for us. Oh, Father, let us show this satisfaction that is in us as we live our lives here on earth. Let everybody see clearly how satisfied we are with Christ and Christ alone. Bless us and receive all the glory. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.